first speaker has had a completely remarkable career at her tender age. Theo Watson first worked on Barack Obama's re-election campaign in 2012 and was Theresa May's political advisor. She's the only person in living memory to tell Dominic Cummings what to do and to take Boris Johnson's temperature orally, contrary to his preferred method. She was, in fact, an extremely serious figure in government. She was Boris Johnson's co-deputy chief of staff, and she's written an absolutely fantastic political bonk buster. She's the new Ginny Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, Cleo Watson.
Co-deputy chief of staff role, that sounds very important, but to give you an idea of the structure of that building, there was no chief of staff, so it was all a bit of a mess. I'm sorry that I've got some notes. I'm sure some of your hearts are sinking that I'm holding them, but you have such high calibre speakers here normally, not least Jane and Michael, and I've got a couple of historical references I'd like to make, and I don't want to make a hash of things. Harry's asked me not to talk about my book, which, as he says, has slightly dubiously been named a political bomb buster, which is probably for the best. It saves all of our blushes. Although I was quite pleased to see that Jane and Michael's books, which are rather more highbrow than mine, have pictures in them, and mine doesn't, so I just like to know that. There is one book I would like to talk about, though, very briefly, and that is The Winding Stair by Jesse Norman, who's one of our rather more erudite MPs and ministers in the Commons at the moment. This is all about set in Tudor times during the courts of Elizabeth I and James I, and it's the great rivalry between Francis Bacon and Edmund Cook. And my favourite bit, unfortunately for Jesse, I laughed all the way through it, because my favourite bit are these letters that Francis Bacon sends, from pleading to begging to people like Lord Burghley, saying how completely brilliant he would be for certain roles that come up, like the Solicitor General and the Attorney General. And it reminded me so much of the messages I used to get in government when there was a sniff of a reshuffle from MPs. They weren't quite saying, "Dost thou not think I would make a brilliant Transport Secretary? I'm well versed in the ways of the Today programme. I bring with me 7,000 Twitter followers." But they're not that far off. We've come a long way. We're not with quills anymore. We've got WhatsApp. But the mind of the MP continues to be about the same. It did get me thinking, though, about Downing Street and how much of... We read about it in the papers a lot. It's a court. At Downing Street, and it really is, it essentially is a Tudor court. There are a few reasons why, not just the golden wallpaper, obviously. The first is that proximity is key. When I first worked for Theresa May, I had a little office by the cabinet room, and I thought, this is as close to power as you can get, I've arrived. And then it wasn't until I worked for Johnson and I was about 6 feet from his desk that I realised, like an onion, you have to get right to the centre to really know what's going on. Access rather than job title is very important. The people in government who really know what's going on are the ones that empty the bins, the ones that bring the coffee, the ones that are on the diary. And Harry's talked about what I was doing already. If you're up close and personal taking someone's temperature, you tend to learn quite a lot more things about them rather than if you're sitting across the base cabinet room table from them. Similarly, there are obviously lots of nooks and crannies in Downing Street. That's where people tend to do their whispering and their plotting, particularly during rather dangerous times for the Prime Minister. And when the Prime Minister moves around the house, you can almost sense the kind of energy move as well, a bit like the court, a Tudor court moving around the country. Of course, now you can't poison your enemies or hope that a venereal disease will strike them down in their prime. Now it tends to be information leaks or Sue Gray. The Downing Street I was part of, good news, second page really, The dynasty I was part of, and I'm really thinking of the 2019 to 2020 period, was almost exactly, in my view, like Henry VIII's court. The backdrop, a radical break with Europe, arguably from opportunism rather than conviction from the big man in charge. The people's vote marchers, who spent a lot of time outside our building, were a little perhaps like the Catholics. They'd seen their EU flags being torn down from ministerial buildings, a bit like seeing their icons torn down as well. And of course, where Henry oversaw a dissolution of the monasteries, with my old boss Dominic Cummings in charge, it became more of a dissolution of the ministries. But what about the characters? Boris obviously is the perfect Henry VIII. We know he's a man of great appetites in pretty much every direction. What don't we know about his love life or his diet? Indeed, you've seen the rather corporal body of the king crashing into small children on a rugby pitch. He loves a classical allegory. He's capable of great charm. He's incredibly good looking as a young man, although I suggest his vices have caught up with him a bit since. And he's really capable of vicious fits of rage. Dominic Cummings, I would say, is a Thomas Cromwell character, a sort of court outsider. He's made his way in. There's an obvious ideas man, the power behind the throne. He's a vast intellect, but also has the kind of lizard-like Machiavellian brain of a true political operator, which I can tell you not every politician is blessed with. He's also absolutely despised by the court establishment. Duke of Norfolk is worried what will happen to his monopolies, which is pretty much the relationship I would say Cummings had with every single Tory MP he came into contact with. As regards an Anne Boleyn character, I really couldn't say. And now, what about what follows? Taking them slightly out of sequential order, I think Lady Jane Grey would have been thrilled to have got 49 days, like was trusted. And of course, Edward VI, he actually had quite a lot in common, I think, with Rishi Sunak. Both very committed scholars, and both roughly the size of a 10-year-old boy. Only one actually was a 10-year-old boy, obviously. Whilst Edward faithfully continued the dissolution of the monasteries after his father's work, Sunak's a bit luckier. In modern Britain, the great institutions of learning seem to just be tearing themselves down. So job done. So yes, we now have email, we have WhatsApp, we have 24 news cycles, we have social media. But essentially, everything remains the same. It's still gossip, information, access, proximity. It's just done in a slightly more painful way where people like Michael are able to expose it better than parchment and quill was able to. And of course, there's this building that remains there, a mishmash of townhouses that have been put together, blighted by mice, rats, despite the cats, and of course, the very cold or hot weather. And how can you leave all of that behind? Well, that came sooner than I was expecting at the end of 2020 for me. Luckily, I was not beheaded or died, but I did, I suppose, just stop believing in the absolute divine right of kings to rule.